Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia dealers of Ireland. Wherever the next 7 years bring you, Kia are with you all the way.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Now, we've had so many calls over the last 9 months about special needs children and how they're being treated, given that there's such a, on the one hand, such a small proportion of the student population of 1 million, a couple of percent, is it 18,000 in total, and that's at two levels, and the fact that parents have been campaigning, and insofar as you can campaign when you're trying to run and care and homeschool children with autism and the various differences that parents have to endure. And you've heard stories in this programme and other programmes of what parents are going through. And they are pleading on bended knee for the schools to reopen at some stage. They were told after their campaign over Christmas and shortly after, they were told that the schools would reopen tomorrow. That's now been abandoned. And we're told the main reason is that the unions, the INTO and FORSA, now, the ASTA, the TUA aren't involved because I think they've just said, no, the second level issue is not going to arise at this stage. And the government backed down, as they backed down last night to the INTO and FORSA. Alison, good afternoon. You're a primary school teacher. Now, I didn't hear the stats from the INTO, but I did hear the spokesperson, Andy McIntyre, from FORSA, saying that 99% of the calls they've got to the office, or contact, I presume email, have been from teachers and SNA, special needs assistants, primarily in their case, saying we do not want to go back to school. You were a member of the INTO. They are adamantly against it. And as you heard, there was a pretty strong rebuke this morning from the Minister for Education, Norma Foley, to the General Secretary of the INTO, Mr. Boyle, saying that he was being completely disingenuous. You contacted us. Why, Alison?
Well, I just feel, Joe, that the people that are getting in contact with the unions tend to be the people that are against going back. And I just wanted to be a voice for one of the teachers that would be in favour of going back, because they tend not to be as vocal.
And in terms of, you see, the INTO would say, well, we represent teachers.
Yes, they do. And I accept that the INTO have to act on behalf of what their members are telling them. But I feel that the members that are most vocal, that are most likely to make their voices heard in the INTO, are the ones that don't want to go back. And I believe there are a lot of teachers there out there that would be very happy to serve their country and help out very vulnerable children that really, really need to be in school. And I just wanted to be a voice for one of those teachers.
And as you are a member of the INTO, I presume.
Yeah.
Every teacher. Down south. I know up north there's two unions representing primary school teachers. But what are you hearing from other teachers, Alison, your colleagues in your WhatsApp groups or whatever about this?
Well, I'm hearing a mixture, but a lot of my colleagues have said that from September they felt very safe at school. They felt that the measures that have been put in place have been working well, and that they would be only too happy to go back. You know, in a controlled environment, only teaching a small number of children with special needs, there'd be plenty of scope for social distancing and doing it in a way that would be safe. And a lot of them would be happy to do that. You know, teaching is a vocation, and I think when we sign up to be teachers, we sign up to help children in society, and children with special needs are, you know, really, really need our help at the moment, and their parents need our help. And like all the other workers in the country that have been going out to work every day since this pandemic started, I feel that a lot of teachers would be happy to do the same. And you know, it's the teachers that are saying no, they're kind of getting all the air time, and I'm just afraid it's giving teachers a bad name, really.
Are you up to speed on what the government had conceded on? They said, I think the initial thing was 2 days a week. There would be half classes, a maximum of six in each class. There would be childcare if the SNA needed it and the teacher needed it. There would be exemptions if people didn't field, if they were pregnant or had underlying issues and they were worried about COVID, they didn't have to come in. They could continue on the system they're on at the minute. Do you think that was enough, as well as the PPE and the fact that the minister is adamant that Ciarán de Gascoigne, Ronan Flynn, the deputy CMO, Ronan Glynn, he said that in the webinar, the minister's line is he was clear that it was safe to go back to school. The unions originally said we will take whatever public health advice they got. She said they got that advice and then they refused, and they're the only union to refuse and to ignore public health advice.
Yeah, now I do feel that Norma Foley has handled this very badly, that she made an announcement without consulting the unions beforehand, and then the unions turned around and said, no, this is not what we agreed. I do think it could have been handled a lot better by the government. But having said that, I am perfectly happy that everything Ronan Glynn is saying and everything the government are saying in terms of what they'll put in place, that teachers would be safe. I would be perfectly happy to go back.
But would you go back if the union...
But I do think the whole thing has been handled bad.
OK, but would you go back? Well, we're trying to find solutions, but would you go back if the INTO said no?
I suppose I can't because I'm a member of the INTO and I have to do what they instruct me.
It's a pretty strong... The teacher unions are the strongest unions in the country and the most organised. To their credit, that's not a criticism, but they are the strongest unions by far in the country. Jennifer, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
You're the mother of a son with autism.
Yeah.
What's your reaction to this another fine mess? You're living through it.
Yeah, I'm lucky I'm not in one of the worst case scenarios like some other parents. My child attends mainstream. But missing out in school is huge for him, both academically and socially. I was rang by my school a few days ago and there was great excitement. The school was going to open up on Thursday. And it was a relief for me as well because I have other kids and I find all my time goes on my eldest child. And it was a relief to hear that the school was opening. And my son is due to start secondary school next year. So he's missed nearly half of last year because of this. And now he's missing this time. So it's a real catch-up game. I can't see him even being ready for secondary school, if I'm being honest. It's worrying. So it's just upsetting, to be honest.
In terms of solutions, Jennifer, listening to the debate, it's turned into a party political debate now. The government on the one hand and then the opposition on the other hand saying the government have made a mess of it.
The government has completely made a mess of it. I'm so annoyed by the government because I'm actually a teacher as well, but I'm not working at the moment.
Okay.
I have great compassion for the teachers. I decided to go in teaching quite late in my life. I completely underestimated the amount of work the teachers do. They do a lot. But the government have, throughout this pandemic, have acted like reactively all the time and have never planned. This is our third wave. Children with disabilities should have been their top priority.
Well, they say, hang on now, in fairness, at least over since Christmas, the government have made it absolutely clear. And I think it was, I presume they heard from parents the way we did and the pleas that parents made on bended knee from their sometimes homes under siege. And the government said that is our priority. Our priority is to open this very, very, very small part of the education system in safe and conditions. And the minister...
Yes, so they did this. They did this, but they never consulted the teachers.
Hang on. Where, how do you know that?
Well, I'm just speaking from my own personal experience, and I know a few friends that are teachers. They're angry. They're being told they're going into school. They're not feeling safe. Their worries aren't being, they're not being listened. They're not being heard. But at the same time, especially when it's to do with special educational needs, like it's such a small cohort of students. Yeah. Surely the government could
The government's argument that we've never had as much engagement with teachers' unions, or what do they call them, the stakeholders, than in this particular issue,
so
trying to sort it out.
If there was, my question is, if there was adequate engagement, why are we at last minute first be told that the schools are opening and then told that the schools are closing again. If they were actively engaged, this would never have even got to this point. There would have been plans in place, the teachers would have been satisfied, and the schools would be open for special education needs students. That's not the case.
What do you hope they reopen, as everyone does, as soon as possible?
I think it's so imperative that they open, not just for my child, but for the parents that are stuck at home. These parents that are stuck at home with severely autistic children, they do not have the time to ring Joe Duffy or to write letters to their politicians. Yeah. They have no time. They are fighting a battle inside their houses. I feel morally obliged to speak on their behalf, because it's an absolute disgrace that at 9 o'clock news last night, parents found out that their kids weren't going to school on Thursday. That's not acceptable.
Well, do you think the government should have said, we're opening the schools anyway, and we're urging teachers and SNAs to come in and to see what happened?
Well, to be honest, I know from my example, from my school, I know that all the teachers and SNAs were prepared to go in. I've had this conversation with the principal. They felt completely safe. I've been very strict throughout this whole pandemic. We haven't gone anywhere. We're not mixing at all. Yeah. So if I was prepared for my child to go to school, I felt like it was safe. So, I mean, it's probably not the case in all schools, but I think that maybe they should have called their bluff and said, yeah, the schools are opened. And if you don't attend school, then there's consequences.
That's interesting that you're saying, on the one hand, you're saying that you think the government have made a mess of it, but on the other hand, you're saying that the government should just say of changing their mind, and then you're trying to organise and trying to tell your children, or explain to your children why the plans have changed. Amanda is online. Amanda, good afternoon.
You're on live line now.
Amanda, go ahead. Your point, please.
Hi. I'm a special education teacher.
Yeah.
And I'm shared between schools. So I'm also asthmatic, and I live at home with my parents. Yeah. And I'm just frustrated and anxious with what I'm hearing on the radio, you know, for teachers that are vulnerable, and we feel that we don't have the proper PPE gear.
And yeah, have you not got an exemption given those extenuating circumstances, Amanda? Asthmatic? You live with your elderly parents. Surely you can.
Yes.
Surely that's grounds for an exemption.
Well, there has been no guidance from the government, from the Department of Education, as of yet, for people who are, you know, who do have underlying conditions.
But do you think, as Jennifer pointed out, who's a teacher and the mother of a boy with autism, she's saying that the government should just say, well, the teachers that are willing to go in and teach, or go in and assist and teach, please do so. Which means
which means
no one would be forced, Amanda.
Yes, well, I do agree, and I understand that parents are frustrated at home, and the children need the routine and I suppose the stability of being at school. And if that is the case and they want to give teachers the option, that's fine. But I really think that community transmission has to be low also for it to reflect in schools. I mean, schools don't want outbreaks.
For staff members
as well as children.
And did you sit in on the webinar the other day with 18,000 other people?
Yes, I was on it.
And were any of your questions, any of your worries addressed?
They weren't, no.
Okay.
I mean, there was clear frustration and anxiety and worry from all members that were there.
And have you ever had to say before, no, I'm not coming in, I can't come in, please excuse me because I am asthmatic?
No. I mean, when we were in school in the first term, case numbers were low. We hadn't had outbreaks in schools. We felt safe with the PPE that we had. Like, we are wearing masks,
yeah,
and we have sanitizers in our classrooms, and children sanitize their hands. But I mean, is that enough for the cases that are out there now?
Okay, that's your big worry. So if the cases went down dramatically, you would be open to going back?
Yes.
Okay. Say with us, Amanda. Breda O'Sullivan, before the break. Breda's in Wexford. Your point, please. Breda.
My point is, Joe, every worker is working in shops, in hospitals, at the front line on COVID wards, and some would be compromised, but they're still working. Children with disabilities, and disabilities in general, have been at the bottom of the pack for a lot of service now like that. Education is the most important thing for a child with disability. Now, I raised children with disability, and my priority was to make sure they got the best education they could get. And even if it was at our own cost, we made sure they had the equipment to do that. I do not see why teachers will not go in and teach children. If, like the other
they
lady
don't believe
there,
they don't believe it's safe, and they don't
it
believe
it is safe. They're in pods of six in some places. It is safe. So they have to keep away from the other teachers. So they only stay with the children that are given and their helpers. It is safe. Well, without being safe, look at the north that have much higher numbers, only six counties, than Ireland have down here. And their children are in school. It's disgraceful.
As they are throughout Europe.
It's absolutely disgraceful. I'm disappointed in teachers. And you know what? It is a great time to be in opposition. That you can sit back and say, you will do this and you will do that, because you don't have to do it. If you're not the parent of a child with a disability, you do not know what they go through.
Say with us, Breida. Sinead is on the line. Sinead, you've heard Breida there. She's gone through the experience, but just urging teachers to go back, that other workers at the front line have stuck through thick and thin, post workers, shops especially, supermarkets, incredible work, and small shops. Sinead, your point, please.
I fully agree. I mean, you know, shops and bus drivers, and all of them, they have been amazing. But, you know, just to maybe draw a picture, if we were to go into a shop now and all the press tech screens were gone and all the customers weren't wearing masks, how safe would we feel? We wouldn't. And the case with teachers and SNAs in special needs school is that we have to work with children who, to no fault of their own, are unable to wear masks, who are unable to practice, you know, cough etiquette, unable to practice hand hygiene. And we also work in classrooms where the only way to ventilate is to open all the windows and doors, which, you know, between September and December, that was okay.
Yeah.
We did our best. But, you know, it's getting really
and Sinead, the concessions the government made, that it would only be 2 days a week, that it would only be half and half, in other words, all the special needs pupils wouldn't be in at any one time. The PPE gear, the childcare arrangements, that's not enough.
I don't necessarily think that it's not enough. I do think that some of that can be worked on, but not within, you know, 24 hours. Certainly not. And it's, you know, it's come at a very last minute. So it definitely is a start. But I do think that, you know, it was acknowledged by Dr. Collins on the webinar that was held yesterday that when community transmissions are high, schools will follow. That was clearly said. So although they're saying that they deem schools to be safe, you know, we all know that this is based on data.
That's why they're not bringing 1 million students back to school, because community transmissions are high. That's why they're prioritising special needs students.
Absolutely. We also have to acknowledge that the close contact that is involved. So our classes may be smaller, we have less pupils, but we also have almost, you know, one and one or one to two amount of adults in our classrooms. So we could have maybe only 5-6 children, but then we have the teachers, the SNAs, the nurses, the bus escorts, the bus drivers, and now those children sit with other children on the buses. So I think at a time when there is rapid transmission, I think it's only fair that teachers and SNAs have a right to feel safe and to protect our vulnerable family members.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that we can't do anything, absolutely. I'm not saying that there's nothing that can be worked upon, but the thing is, we've had 10 months' time to work on something as the government has. And I know that unions and principals have reached out to the government and they have not entertained it at all. And now suddenly, and I think the saddest thing about all of this is how the government have initially printed parents and teachers and SMAs and principals and bonds up against each other and basically sat back and watched us basically hurl abuse at each other. And to be honest, I think Norma Foley and Jacinta Madigan should hang their heads in shame.
Niamh O'Donoghue's in Killiney. Niamh, your point, please. You're the parent of a child with special needs.
Hi, Joe. Yeah, I have a son with special needs. He's 8 years old, Charlie. And he goes to a special school in South Dublin. And basically, we're just saying that just because of the inertia, like the government should just put its foot down. We've fantastic teachers and everything.
Put its foot down in what way? In what way, Niamh? Just say the schools are reopening for on certain days for special needs, for certain groups of special needs pupils at primary level at this stage.
We've just been all around the houses at this stage and we're not getting anywhere. Who is in charge, the government or the unions? We've fantastic teachers and, you know, there's no criticism of our teachers. They've all been fantastic and they all thought they were going back to work. You know, in our case, we've been really happy with our SNAs and our teachers. We're forced to have a lot of workers working in other sectors, disability, adult services. Those services have all returned. You know, how is that safe? How is our situation not safe? And it's just come to the point now where, you know...
Well, forced to say that 99%... of the SNAs they were, and they're the union that took in the SNAs when no one else would take them in. We're forced to say 99% of the SNAs we represent, they represent 12 out of 17,000 that have contacted them have said we don't want to go back.
I did hear that figure today, that 12 out of 17,000 don't want to go back. Yeah, that's very
disappointing. No, that's not the exact... Sorry, and just for clarification, not your fault, Niamh, probably me. The Forza represent 12 out of 17,000, and the Forza who represent 12,000 are saying of the SNAs that have contacted them, 99% don't want to go back. That's the...
I understand. Okay, so the majority. Okay, I get you. It's not 12 out of 17,000. Yeah, Right.
But the singer your call is, yeah, government should put their foot down and open the schools and see what happens.
They should, because, I mean, we're very disillusioned to hear that Micheál Martin, who is the boss, should, like, come on television and say today that, you know, we're just going to have to wait till the COVID numbers go down. We're unique in Europe. We're the only country whose special needs schools aren't open. And it's just gotten to the point now that we're just going to have to take legal action.
One aspect, I know you're going to take legal action and wherever that gets you, but I know that's not a step taken lightly. But Niamh, you see, you're saying the government just say reopen the schools, but we had a member of the INTO on earlier who rang in specifically to say, I want to go to work and I disagree with the INTO. I think they are wrong or whatever. But then when I said to her, would you go back if the INTO said no? And she said, absolutely not. I will not disobey, I'm paraphrasing. I will not go against my union. And I presume it's the same with forces. So the government would be left with egg on their face. Not that that matters any of us or should bother anybody, egg in their face or being found out wrong once the right thing happens in the end. Where is Mary? Mary, you're an SNA teacher.
I'm an SNA.
Special needs assistant, sorry, yes.
Yeah. I just like to say I really sympathise with the parents.
Yeah,
like,
everyone does,
it's just
yeah.
been like a roller coaster for them for the last few weeks. Yeah. I've been an SNA for many years and I'm working in an ASD class.
Okay.
What I'd really like to point out is that there was, as you heard said, there was 17,000 people on that webinar the other night from NEFIT. And to be honest, that was a turning point, I think, that just stopped the whole return to school. On NEFIT were telling us on that they were stressing how important social distancing is. And there was what they said to us was try and adhere to social distancing as much as possible in the classroom and use your mask when that's not possible. And then they said when you come out of the classroom, please don't let your guard down when you're talking to your colleagues. Now, I'd like to say, out of the 6 hours that I'm in school, most of the time is in the classroom with four adults, six children, no social distancing most of that time, And the only time we get to social distance is when we're in the staff room. Because
so there's nothing. So in other words, Mary, there's nothing the government can do to change that. That's your point.
No, except vaccinations, maybe. Okay, can I just point something else out, Joe, please? Now, a lot of the HSC therapists at the moment, I know, are working with children still, right? But their guidelines, when they take a child into
crèches, crèches are open?
Yeah, but what my point is, the HSC therapists, they only take children in on a one-to-one to their clinics now. If that child understands social distancing, they wear PPE from head to toe, which is changed after every session, and they're only allowed to have a session for 15 minutes. So why are we treated in a totally different way to be thrown into a class with no social distancing for 6 hours?
So in other words, you're saying the SNAs, or indeed the teachers, none of them should go back until they're vaccinated.
Well, I don't know if it's just the vaccination is the solution. I don't know. But the numbers need
The scenario you're painting and the unions are painting is about social distance. But I understand the problem, especially with children who don't understand the concept of social distance. But what is it that a government are not supplying that would allow the teachers to go back? And what you're saying it's the vaccination and the numbers going down dramatically.
Numbers, definitely. Okay. September was a total different case than it is now.
So in one sense, that's out. That's as we've discovered. At the end of the day, it's outside the remit of the government to get the numbers down because it's up to people's behaviour. Unfortunately,
at the moment. Yeah. And one other thing, I just like to say, a lot of what's going out in the media from the SNAs nowadays, in the last few days, is childcare. I'm a 57-year-old SNA. I don't have any children at home that I have to worry about. But I have been absolutely terrified for the last couple of weeks with the fear that we were going to put into that situation. And a lot of SNAs are more older people as well. So, you know, it's not all about childcare. The media seems to be told that these are the simple solutions that can be sorted, but it's not. Like, it's older people as well that are really terrified to go back into that situation. And I know lots of families that have special needs. I know some of them have really, really dreadful time during this, especially, but we have families too, and we're as anxious, you know.
Yeah, Aoife, stay with us, Mary. Aoife is also an SNA, but in a secondary school. Your response, Aoife, to what you're hearing.
Well, Joe, good afternoon. I would be very happy to go back to work personally because I am thinking of the students that are missing out, the students that don't understand, that do not know what coronavirus is.
But are you prepared? If, as a lot of our listeners are saying, the government should just say, we're in charge, the schools are reopening tomorrow or Monday or whatever, on a very limited basis for a very limited group of young people for a very limited time in very limited circumstances. Are you in the union? Are you in Forza, for example?
I am, yes, yeah. I am. Well,
Forza have said, no, you're not going back.
I would disagree with them.
But would you go back?
Yes, I would go back. Okay. Yes, I would go back. Because I just think it isn't fair. I think it's very, very unfair.
But Forza said 99% of people that have contacted, the SNAs that have contacted them, don't want to go back.
Well, I must be in the 1% because I didn't actually know, and I certainly would not have contacted them.
And what do you think? What do you think of Mary's point? I'll go back when we have the vaccination. I'll go back when the numbers are down.
No, because we're going to be waiting. That's the reality. We are going to be waiting. We are not going to be vaccinated in the next 3 to 4 weeks to get back to school.
3 to 4 months. Mary, sorry, you wanted to say.
Yeah, Joe. And if the numbers were even down anything like last September, you know, obviously it is most likely possible to go back. But can I just say one other thing? There was a publication put out yesterday from the UK, from their Department of Education, I think it was. And they have issued figures, which they haven't issued up to now, to say that the schools aren't as safe as was thought. And that special needs assistance in special classrooms have a 7% chance
Mary, you understand, from what you say is quite clear. You're saying if the government said the schools are reopening tomorrow for special needs, you're not going back.
No.
Okay. Back after this, 51551 Marchant.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
The debate continues. It was continued for a long time before, but it's erupted again with such passion, and that is the plan to reopen some classrooms, very small percentage of classrooms tomorrow for special needs students, who represent, I think, 18,000 out of the 1 million students, primary and second level. And as you know, the plan was abandoned once again by the government last night. Grania and Chum, Grania, 1850 715 815. Your point, please. You run a creche.
Yeah, so we're currently open. We run a creche and we're open and happy to be open to provide much needed childcare, especially to our frontline healthcare workers. But I suppose my point is, you know, I'm hearing a lot in the news where SNAs and the teachers would be saying childcare is one of their issues. And I suppose it's disappointing to hear that they're saying childcare would be one of their issues for not returning to work. Because we're open, we're here, we're available to take children, and you know, we're willing to do our part. And I just feel that the children with special needs are our most vulnerable, and we all have to get through this pandemic with as little impact on our most vulnerable citizens. And if SNAs and special education needs teachers aren't going to come back, well, where does that leave our most vulnerable children and their needs?
But what do you think of the arguments which seem to be coming from the teacher unions? If you try and drill down to say, what do you want? What must happen before the schools reopen? And it looks like it's down to vaccinations and the numbers dropping dramatically.
Yeah, I understand that. But for example, the people who work in creches are on the same line for vaccination, number 11, with the teachers. And, you know, the teachers are asking to be pushed up the line and they're not open. You know, we're open and we're down at number 11 to be vaccinated. And I understand the most vulnerable have to be vaccinated first and frontline healthcare workers, and that's totally understandable. But I suppose I feel that people who work in creches are being completely pushed aside, completely. And it makes me wonder that does it show that the unions who are the strongest will win out? You know, is that what it comes down to, really?
Well, let people judge themselves. Stay with us, Cronin and Chum. Sinead, your point, please.
I agree. I think those who work in childcare are in a very vulnerable position, but of course they're to be commended that, you know, they are doing the job of childcare, but it's probably because they don't have any representation that they've been left in a position where childcare workers don't have a choice. I think that, you know, just because they're open doesn't mean that they're not at risk. And of course they're at risk.
Well, out of my 46 staff that I have,
Rania,
the majority of them were quite happy to do their part and to come back. They're nervous, very nervous. There had to be a lot of reassurance. But
and I think that's what it boils down to. People are very, very nervous. And I think the fact that, you know, I think in a way, childcare can be compared to a certain amount, the ones in creche, to special needs schools. But I think that one thing that has to be remembered, there's a lot more mixing of households in special schools because of the way transport is organised. You've got different children on the bus. You've got bus escorts. You've got the bus driver. You've got the, in the classroom, the SNAs, the teachers. Some schools have nurses. I mean, one thing to make very clear,
that's where your parents
would
come in.
We want to go back. You know, we just are looking for a safe environment. I mean, I think the one thing that hasn't been talked enough about is ventilation.
I know ventilation and the cold and most, but 99% of workers because don't have air conditioning. But Sinead, do you stand with the other teachers who were saying we'll go back when we get the vaccination and when the numbers are down dramatically?
I think that's a huge blanket statement to make.
What does the government have to do to ensure that you will go back?
Absolute
full engagement with the teachers and SNAs, the ones represented. I think, you know, there hasn't been enough engagement for long enough to make sure that we can come up with a plan that will actually work. These, you know, these kind of Friday night announcements, these announcements that, you know, decisions that Norman Foley
But Sinead, I don't care whether it's Friday night, Saturday morning at 3 o'clock. I don't care what time it is, because I've heard from all the parents, they're living this. They're living Friday nights and Saturday mornings and Saturday nights and Sunday mornings.
Well, we do care if there if the plans
so
are
so
being
so
announced.
So it's irrelevant when the government announced it. The government said the government said they had agreement, and Norma Foley said this tomorrow.
They didn't. I mean, if they did, it wouldn't be where we are today.
Sorry, can I just ask, are you not working in pods? And I know you were saying you're vulnerable because the transport, the SNAs, which we have transport, we have SNAs, AIM workers, all of that in our creche as well. But we have our pods, and we're extremely strict on our pods. Now, I have 180 children in our creche, and we're just taking essential children and vulnerable children. We're down to 40 children. I have 46 staff that I have to pay. So we're working on a rota where we've half the staff in to cover our ratios and half the staff working at home. I'm a private business, obviously. They're entitled to be paid. I've been told I can't charge the parents. And to be fair, I think that's right. You can't charge the parents if they're not given a place to come in. But this is all at my own cost. But we are working in our pods. You have your pods and your bubbles. Be very strict about it, and you have limited interactions with people. I know somebody's point earlier was about the therapies, that they're only allowed to take children in for 15 minutes and they have full PPE and they change after each session. However, people doing therapies aren't working in pods either, so there's no comparison there to say that they're, you know, they're, they have these strict rules on how they take children in. You're working in a pod with your group. And that pod is sacred and tight, and you have to have trust that the parents are keeping their pod at home, you know, and limited, nobody coming into their household. It doesn't go without risk. I understand that. Mm. We're constantly, every single day, looking at who's been with who, who's on which break, making sure there isn't more than two people in the break room, social distancing, all of that. But we all have to get through this. Absolutely all have to get through this. But I do think SNAs, special education needs teachers, are as important as frontline workers to protect our vulnerable children. And I think they're being let down. And I understand and appreciate your fear. My staff are fear, but they have accepted NPHET's guidance and they've accepted my reassurance.
Where are you on the list, by the way, Grania, for vaccinations, your staff?
With the teachers down at number 11. But obviously we're open and haven't been moved up. And if we are moved up, I'd welcome that. I'd love it. But
it doesn't really prove anything, unfortunately, at the minute, given the numbers are dropping dramatically, but they're still up over 2,000 at the minute, but they were much higher less than a week ago. Have you encountered any cases of COVID or close contacts, Grant? You must have.
No, we have had no cases. We've had one staff member who tested positive, but she hadn't been in the close contact. We weren't close contacts with her because she was actually off. But no, we've had no cases, but we have been very tight. I'm so strict about social distancing within the staff, keeping the pods very sacred and secure.
Okay. Mary, a quick point, please, Mary. Your son is a teacher, your daughter, you're a hospital nurse. Go ahead. I'm losing contact with all the relations you have in the whole area. What would be your view, please?
I suppose the point I wanted to make, Joe, was that if we were all to look at this from a very open point of view, now, I would be a nurse myself. I work on the front line. My son and his wife are both teachers, and they have a little one-year-old baby. My son's wife was on maternity leave, and my son picked up COVID in school. He brought it home. He infected his wife, and he infected the baby. They were all quite sick. And for me, it was quite difficult watching such a little vulnerable child become so sick with COVID. Now, my questions regarding returning to school would be. What form of infection control teaching have teachers received? Mm. What form of PPE is available for teachers? Because I know from before Christmas, the masks that the teachers were given in the school that my son is
in. It looks like, in fairness, Mary, that the teachers through their union said they were happy with the PPE, they were happy with a lot of the issues, but at the end of the day, they weren't happy. I think it was Sinead who articulated it. They weren't happy with the fact that they weren't going to be vaccinated in the short term anyway, and two, that the numbers were so high, and this shocking figure last week that we had the highest per capita rate in the world. That knocked a lot of people who were already on their staggering. That knocked a lot of people off their feet. So I don't know what
Well, I think it would be very interesting to hear from the government and from the unions what PPE are the teachers being given, because what I'm aware of is that the masks that they were given offer protection for 15 minutes, and after 15 minutes, the filters no longer work. Are teachers aware of that? Are they wearing the same mask all day? And this is where it comes back to correct infection control.
Okay.
Teaching.
Thanks indeed. More to come later on the programme. Grania, Mary, there's another Mary as well, and Sinead and all our callers. 51551, my chance.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
INTO have been on to say they never issued an instruction to their members not to go into work tomorrow. John Breen, John, good afternoon.
Joe, how are you?
You're a parent of a child with special needs. Your contribution, please.
Well, sure, it's struggling, Joe, and people don't get how bad of a struggle it is for these children. You know, Charlotte had skills that she learned in school, and because she's out of school, she's lost them. She lost them the last time they were off in March, June 2020. She got them back, and now she's losing them again. So, and she's, there's other kids in her situation, and they're banging their heads off the wall. They're struggling. They're self-harming.
And when you say, people often use that phrase, "I'm banging," but you mean that literally.
Absolutely,
children.
Literally.
This is the tragedy of it.
Yeah, absolutely, literally. And they're hurting themselves doing it, and they're causing pain to their parents who have to watch them doing it.
And what?
And all because they're missing their routine.
And it's been going on a long, long time now, on and off.
Well, here's my point, Joe. I don't think special education should have ever been closed in the first place. I think these guys should have been essential workers from the start. And I think now that because all of a sudden this essential worker status has been foisted on them, they have a problem with that.
But the argument by a number of teachers and SNAs on this programme that they'll go back when they get the vaccination, or the national numbers drop dramatically.
People who are involved with my daughter who tell me that they will go back to work tomorrow.
They will go back.
That's what I mean.
And the INTO, the INTO, they represent teachers, not SNAs. But it is one really important element of it. But the INTO said, we haven't issued any directive for our members not to return to work. In other words, there'd be no sanction if you did go back to work, I presume.
By the way, I also get the idea that the people who look after our children all day, every day, for years, are very invested in them.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And on the one hand, and on the same body, but on the other hand, the numbers are all over the place and they're a bit scared about that.
Yeah.
But what I don't really like is that some of the people involved in the conversation and discussion are manipulating and mangling the NPHET advice to suit their own agenda. Mm. And that includes everybody. The adults need to grow up.
But what is your understanding of the NPHET advice? The minister says that she's adamant. The NPHET advice said
NPHET want 1 million children approximately to stay at home from school, in order to stop the spread of the virus, so that the essential people can go out and do what's essential. Yeah,
and for
18,000 special need kids, it's essential that they go to school. That's my point.
Okay, stay there, John. Lisa is a junior doctor. Your point, please, Lisa.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good, I
was just calling from the perspective of a junior doctor, in the sense that we've been working on the front line for the last 10 months, I suppose. And I suppose it's very difficult to listen to the teachers talking about how they're afraid to go to work, how, you know, they're worried that they don't have enough PPE, when I'm every day getting up, going into work, and I'm surely just as worried about, you know, bringing stuff home to my family or anything like that. But at the end of the day, there's vulnerable patients that need to be looked after with medical care at the moment, now more than ever, arguably. And so surely these teachers feel the same sense of duty towards their students that I do towards my patients.
But teachers would argue that where you were working is,
yes,
and what you're doing, Lisa, is a matter of life and death. In terms,
yes, but
of,
well, it is a matter of life and death, of course. But it's just, I think, from for these parents that have, you know, these children that need to be supported, you know, is that not equally as important as, say, somebody going into, I don't know, any of the services that are available at the moment that arguably are non-absolutely essential, you know?
And what do you think of the argument by a number of teachers? Well, when the vaccination comes through and when the numbers drop dramatically, nationally.
But how long are we going to have to wait for that, you know? It's very difficult to say at the moment. Like, these families need support now, you know?
And you want a quote from...
And I think as well, I do think as well, you know, it's kind of, is it getting to the point now where, you know, saying that you're nervous about going to work, I just don't think it's a valid...
And I see...
You know, the situation that we're in at the moment, I think we need to be saying to ourselves, what can I do? And I do think I mentioned in the text message that I sent in, you know, what GFK said, you know, what can we do? Don't ask what you can do, what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. And I do think that that's relevant at the moment.
He said that at his presidential inauguration 60 years ago.
Yes.
I don't know if it's exactly
today. And
surely
it rings true today as well, you know.
Okay, Lisa, stay safe and thanks for your service.
Thank you.
Kerry McKeown is in Mullingar. Your point, please, Kerry.
Hi, Joe. I just want to say that my son, he's 6, Jamie is autistic. He's a great little man. He is pre-verbal. He's very little understanding. He goes to a special class in a mainstream school. His teachers have been great, really, all along. You know, they've sent him packs home. He has very limited understanding. He can understand.
So what, have you any, by the way, you've enough to be doing, Kerry. But have you any sense of what needs to be done to get this, to get these classes, these limited classes, very limited, very, very, very limited numbers back into the system? Have you any idea from listening to everything?
The only thing that has happened in all of this is it's after causing such a rift between everybody.
Yeah.
You know, there's such conflicting information out there. Like, we're hearing SNAs want to go back, we're hearing teachers want to go back, the kids want to go back. My son has a voice in all this.
Mm.
You know, he wants to go back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's just, it's and we have to remember that at the cause of all this is not the teachers, is not the students, is not the parents, it's not the government, it's not the politicians, it's not the medics, it's this awful, awful pandemic.
It is.
But Kerry, I hope your voice is, I do detect this morning, apart from the political table tennis that goes on, but I do detect that there is from FORSA and from the INTO, that there is a willingness to put more energy into this particular and try and come up with more ideas and more solutions. Kerry McKeown,
thank you very much.
Kind regards to you and Jamie
and
family,
thanks.
And John Breen as well. 51551, Marsha.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.